a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order. This is Chairman Nelson. I have with me in the hearing room Commissioners Feakin and Hansen. Is there a motion regarding approval of the minutes?
Move to approve September 1st and September 16th, 2015 minutes.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feakin.
Feakin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to consumer reports. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The commission received a total of 148 contacts since the last report was prepared for the September 15th, 2015 commission meeting. 8 of the contacts involved telecommunication services, 19 of the contacts involved electric service, 3 contacts related to gas and electric service, 2 contacts related to wireless service, 12 contacts related to the Do Not Call Registry, 91 contacts related to the Dakota Access Pipeline, 1 contact was related to One Call, and 12 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have 2 complaints from 2014 that are open, and 1,543 of the 1,567 complaints received in 2015 have been resolved.
Thank you. Questions?
Ms. Gregg, did you get any calls on the gas leak at Humboldt this weekend?
No, we did not.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, Deb, thank you. Now, and we will take our agenda in order today. We will begin with EL 15-033 in the matter of the application of Northwestern Corporation DBA Northwestern Energy for approval of tariff revisions. And Mr. Decker, go ahead.
Good morning, Commissioners. This is Jeff Decker with Northwestern Energy. In this docket, Northwestern is asking for a change to its fuel and purchase power adjustment that allows it to pass back production tax credits to its customers. The PTCs are accrued on megawatts generated. On September 25th, Northwestern completed the purchase of the Beethoven Wind facility. Upon that date, PTCs began accruing for Northwestern's customers. With approval of this change, effective October 1, the company will provide an update to its quarterly fuel filing in order to update or to include the PTCs in the fuel adjustment clause. On an annual basis, PTCs are anticipated to provide an $11.8 million benefit or reduction to the fuel adjustment clause. This pro forma change to the fuel adjustment will result in a reduction to the fuel and purchase power recovery rate by about 0.75 cents per kilowatt hour. We ask for your approval of this change, and we are available for questions.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. This is Brittany Malhoff for staff, and staff recommends the commission approve the tariff revisions with less than 30 days notice, and I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Well, I've got questions. Mr. Decker talked about a 0.75 cents per kilowatt hour reduction. What is the current fuel adjustment clause rate?
We're at about 2.917 cents per kilowatt hour.
Okay, the second question I've got is in the title of the matter that we're dealing with, it talks about this being a credit for the sale of the production tax credit. So can you walk me through what's the sale procedure? Are you selling these on a monthly basis? Do you have some contract? Talk to me about how that all takes place.
That may be a pretty short discussion. We don't sell the production tax credits. Blue and Travis will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's just an error in my cover letter.
Yeah, that's correct. These are simply a tax item that when we go to file our income taxes, we'll be able to just request this credit, and there's no sale involved.
Oh, okay. I guess that was a pretty simple answer. I was looking for something like really complex and interesting.
We're on the wrong path on that, yeah.
I think that's all the questions I've got then. Other questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 15-033, I move that the Commission approve the tariff revisions with less than 30 days' notice.
Discussion on the motion. Commissioner Feagin. Oh, discussion?
First of all, I just want to say that it's always nice to get credits back, but this vote, on my part anyway, doesn't approve anything that is going on in the rate case, so I just want to make sure that is clear that the sale of Beethoven, this isn't that vote. It is just the credit that you're giving to customers. So I appreciate that and just want to make that clear.
Well, I need to echo. I mean, that's not just your vote. That's an understanding for all of us that this particular issue has absolutely nothing to do with how we will ultimately resolve the rate increase request. It is only this very narrow issue of how to deal with the production tax credits. And I view this as the most efficient mechanism of getting those dollars back to customers as quickly as possible. I think it's a good answer and certainly positive. Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to NG 15-006 in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation DBA Northwestern Energy for approval of revisions to its tariff section number 5. Mr. Decker.
Okay. Good morning again. Jeff Decker with Northwestern Energy. This is our annual update to the lost and unaccounted percentage that is used in the monthly purchase gas filings. This year's percentage is slightly higher than last year's, but is within the range of Northwestern's historical numbers and is just slightly over the 2% meter test variance allowed in administrative rules. We just asked for your approval of this change, and I'm available for questions.
And we'll go to staff.
Thank you. This is Eric Paulson for staff. As Northwestern pointed out, this is their annual filing for lost and unaccounted for fuel. The calculations are consistent with those filed with previous dockets, and the request is an increase of 0.38% for distribution customers and an increase of 0.09% for the large volume customers. And staff recommends approval with an effective date of October 1st, 2015.
Thank you. Questions? Commissioner Feagin.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Paulson, for asking good questions because you gave us, Northwestern gave us a list of things that they look at on leakage and how they try to improve that every year. This is for Northwestern. Of course, this fluctuates every year. Did I read or did I see that sometimes the percentages are increased when the usage is down and when the usage is up, the percentage of leakage is down? Or can you tell me a little bit what you see in your historical data?
You know, that's a good question. I guess I didn't look at it that way and analyze it as far as in years where usage is down, you know, what's the relationship of that percentage?
Do you have any thought of why the usage is or the leakage is up this year?
You know, I visited with operations and said, did we have anything special going on this year, anything different? Were there any leaks that we were aware of that would have caused this? And we were not able to identify anything specific of why this year's percentage is higher. I think, you know, our last two percentages, like last year was 1.84% and the prior 1.83%. We happen to have 2 years where it's very close. A year prior to that, or 2 years prior, it was 2.06. So, I mean, we seem to kind of be in that range. And so why we're slightly higher this year, we haven't been able to identify anything.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. Chairman, in NG 15-006, move that the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions, effective date October 1st, 2015.
Discussion on the motion. I will simply say I would echo my thanks to Mr. Paulson for asking some good questions. Certainly this increase caught my attention. It's a very different number than what I've become accustomed to over the 4 years I've been here. But going back further in history, we understand that this is within a fairly normal range. And as long as this is not the beginning of some upward trend line, I think we can be comfortable approving this today. Additional discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us...
Thank you for your approvals this morning.
Yep. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks, Blue and Travis.
Thank you.
That'll bring us to TC-15-056 in the matter of the approval of a resale agreement between Quest Corporation doing business as Central and QC and NT Tech Inc. And I'm not sure how we should pronounce that, but I gave it a shot. And Mr. Wagner, you can correct me.
Yes, the name of the organization is NTEC, and my name is Brian Wagner. I'm the Vice President of Carrier Relations for NTEC. So I am the primary interface between NTEC and CenturyLink. We submitted a resale agreement to the commission. We are primarily a DSL reseller, and as I was working with the commission staff on a COA, we thought that was going to be necessary at that time. But so much of the COA was focused on local access, and we are not a voice provider. We'll not be interfacing local offices. We'll not be interfacing tandem groups, 911, et cetera. We're just reselling CenturyLink DSL. And so that's the status right now. A little gray area between should we be submitting a COA or is this a non-COA type of an approval process because we're not a voice carrier.
Thank you. Mr. Topp, anything to add on your behalf?
Sure, Chairman Nelson and commissioners. So the practical issue that lies behind this issue is this agreement is an agreement we offer to CLEX, but don't offer to companies that are not CLEX. And, you know, there are advantages to NTEC to having this particular agreement in that the processes are automated and that sort of thing. And so, you know, the contract itself covers resale of all services. It seems to us that it probably should be treated as if as any other interconnection agreement. And if NTEC decides that it wants a certificate of authority, so that there could be approval of this agreement, they could go ahead and apply for that. And that's what we'd recommend that the commission do in this particular docket. If, I think really appreciate the consultation with staff on this and think that this, think that they raised some important issues. At least this agreement on its face is a general resale agreement, and we think it should be treated accordingly.
Thank you. Appreciate that insight. I'll go to staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizak with staff. On Friday, September 25th, staff filed a memo regarding this docket. Staff would stand by what is mentioned within the memo and stands by for any questions. Thank you.
Questions from the commission? Go ahead.
Mr. Topp, you talked a little bit about your contract. Why is it all services? Why wouldn't it just be the DSL?
Well, the agreement we entered into was a standard resale agreement we make available to CLEX. And you know, I think that's why NTEC is interested in this. Is because there are sort of processes in place and that sort of thing. We have a different agreement we make available to non-CLEX that sort of is more manual in process and a little less user-friendly. And so that's that's why we've offered this contract. It's just sort of a standard contract.
So,
and maybe I can add to that a little bit. This is Brian Wagner again. We have agreements in place with CenturyLink in a number of states, and this is just an effort to standardize across those rather than having unique agreements for each state. I believe we're this is state number 12 that we'd have a an agreement in place with CenturyLink.
So you could amend it, but you just want it to be standardized. So thank you.
Additional questions? I've got a couple. For Mr. Wagner, give me an idea of the customer base, the customer demographic. Who are you going after with this resale plan?
Primarily, this is we're kind of a aggregator for other carriers. So this is we're a wholesale based entity that does not do residential, does not do direct enterprise business. Our primary customer base is another carrier looking for locations in five different states, DSL products in five different states, and we go out and aggregate that and get it back to them.
Well, I'd love to ask more questions about that, but I'm guessing we're probably going to get into some what you'd prefer to have as confidential information if I go any further, so I'll let that go.
And I should emphasize that we have gone down the road with the COA process. The application is essentially done. The questions, the reason we're talking today is the questions about wrapping up this COA in terms of the input on the local access question. Many of the questions on the COA have to do with our intent behind local access, and it does not really apply to us because we don't do voice and we don't interconnect with local tandems or in offices. So we're more than willing to submit the COA. That was the original plan. It's just that much of the COA is really not applicable to our particular situation.
Yeah, I understand that, and I appreciate your candor and understand the kind of the difficulty you're facing there. I've got some questions for staff based on your memo. Looking at the first page of the memo, the last paragraph, you say, in the past, staff would have recommended denying the filing and dismissing the docket as a result of INTEC not having a certificate of authority and, quote, not providing a telecommunications service in South Dakota, unquote. I've read the South Dakota statutes, and so my question is, how could you make a conclusion based on South Dakota statutes that these folks are not providing a telecommunication service in South Dakota?
Thanks, Chairman Nelson. This is Adam DeHewick for staff. I believe that sentence discussing in the past, we were referring to a similar docket that I don't have before me at this moment, but it was TC09016. And again, it was a Quest docket, very similar to this. And the staff attorney at that time had filed a letter to the commission explaining that the matter was filed in mistake and that they were withdrawing the docket. And I believe that is when broadband was considered informational service rather than telecommunication service. So I think that's where that sentence comes from.
Okay, that's helpful, and I'll probably go back and take a look at that. Looking at the second page of the memo, after you've quoted from the FCC, you've stated, due to preemption concerns, staff questions if the commission has jurisdiction over a company reselling broadband only. Is it your understanding or contention that the FCC has already preempted us from requiring a COA for this type of reseller, or that they are simply contemplating such preemption?
Joe is shaking his head. That was a specific discussion that he and I had. I seem to lean more to the contemplating side, that the state is free to act. Then we got into whether or not the COA was creating any barriers or making any burdens upon the company, and we weren't sure of a correct answer. I believe the matter is being litigated with something coming up in December. It's telecommunications versus FCC. I just received an email on that the other day. It seemed to be sort of this same situation.
And what state is that litigation coming out of?
I have it as U.S. Telecom Association versus FCC 15-1063, scheduled for December 4th. It was just kind of an update I received through one of these email services.
I think that's all the questions I've got, and I don't want anybody who's listening to think I'm leaning one way or another on this based on the questions I've asked. I mean, frankly, in my own mind, I'm probably coming to a position that I don't particularly like, but I think there's also more information that we probably need. Erlaine, do you have some questions?
Yes, this is Relaine Weitz. For the company, then, do you have certificates in other states, all the other states that you have this agreement in?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want me to list those states, or?
No, that's fine. I was just wondering if you, and if this issue had come up in any of those states in the COA process.
Yes, it has. Most commissions have just approved it without any certification at all. We have a couple of exceptions. State of Washington asked us to register so that we weren't a CLEC or a full COA type of thing. It was just a document registering. Oregon wants a full-blown CLEC. And another state, I believe, I can't remember off the top of my head, but another state approved it with the stipulation that if we were to provide local services, voice services, we would have to come back to the commission and be granted authority. But most commissions have looked at this as it's DSL resale, and therefore it's not voice, and therefore there's no reason to move forward with formalized certificates.
So in most states you don't have certificates, but they have approved the resale agreement.
Correct.
And for CenturyLink, a question on, does the FCC in its net neutrality order, they forbore from the interconnection provisions under 251, 252? How does that play into this? Or does it?
Well, I do think there is a question as to whether 251, 252 applies or not. I think as a practical matter, if the commission were to approve this agreement, you know, both companies are interested in moving forward with it. And so I don't expect controversy on that front.
That's all I have.
I have one further question for Mr. Wagner. If we were to require you to obtain a COA in South Dakota, would you view that as a restriction to the entry into the broadband market?
I would have to review the reporting requirements. A lot of our view, whether that is a burden or not, is simply based on the number of quarterly or annual reports, fees, and things of that nature. South Dakota is not a particular strength for us in terms of a home market, so the amount of business we'd be doing there would be minimal. So any paperwork and fees associated with that would have to be weighed against the potential for business there. So it's maybe is an answer to your question. It's not the best answer I know you're looking for, but I'd have to do a little bit more research on exactly the reporting requirements.
Yeah, but that's a reasonable answer, and I appreciate your candor in that. Additional question, Ms. Wiest.
Yes, I had another question. When you first started out, you, Mr. Wagner, you stated that you were a DSL reseller primarily. So what else do you do?
We do some more involved CLECing activity in other states where we're a full CLEC. But we do primarily transport. Our other services are transport related. So from a data center in Denver, for example, to a data center in Seattle, we provide transport for other carriers on that route.
But in South Dakota, you're only a DSL reseller and you have no intent to do anything else?
Yeah, we're not going to build any. That's correct. We're not going to build facilities in South Dakota. That is not on our plan. We just want to add South Dakota to our CenturyLink catalog, if you will, of services where we can offer these type of services.
That's all I have.
Any other questions? If not, how would we like to proceed? Rolaine, do you have any?
I think they've brought up some interesting issues, and I would recommend that the commission defer at this time. I think we still have time before our 90 days is up for approval or denial or allowing it to go into effect without action.
Thank you. Commissioners, any thoughts? I would certainly support deferral, and I just want to make it clear to both companies, we do not want to get in the way of you're all doing business that you both want to do, but we need to make sure that however we all move forward is legally accurate and supportable, and so I think a two-week deferral on this would be appropriate unless there's any objection. Not seeing any objection, this matter is deferred for 2 weeks. So far as announcements, the commission will be meeting beginning at 1 o'clock this afternoon for the Dakota Access LLC Energy Facility Permit hearing. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, October 13th at 1:30 p.m. in Room 413 of the State Capitol. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We are adjourned.